Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:04 on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Dylan hanging out as well. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We're going to get you caught up before you get to work today. The 49ers have ruled out Brock Purdy, wide receiver Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver Juwan Jennings for the game against the Rams tonight.
Woof.
Yeah.
Woof. It stinks for them. I mean, everything added on top of that. We just talked about Nick Bosa the other day. It's just one thing after another with that team. But anyways.
New Orleans will host the 2028 College Football Playoff National Championship game. Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels is on track to make his return this week.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. And playoff baseball is in full swing. A few wild card series are going to game three today. Guardians and Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Guards. Boston and the Yankees and Cubs and Padres. How can you not root for Steven Vogt, Dylan? I don't understand.
Because my family is all Tigers fans and, you know, no shade to Steven Vogt, but I would rather see my family happy than Steven Vogt.
Wow. That's
just what
crazy.
It is, man.
That's crazy.
And the Dodgers, of course, will advance the NLDS against Philadelphia after beating the Reds 8-4 yesterday.
They're so good, dude. So good.
They're so, so good. And Shohei Ohtani, I believe, is pitching in the next game. So, and of course, if you missed the big headline of yesterday, Braves manager Brian Snicker has made his decision. He is not returning as manager next season. He'll go into an advisory role. And he said the decision, it's not tough to leave the job. It's tough to leave the relationships, the players.
Exactly.
The job's not hard to leave. The relationships and the experiences and all that's what's tough. You know, not seeing guys every day and working relationships. And we got an unbelievable team here that we work with, from the greatest trainers, strength coaches, video guys that I nuzzle up to all the time. They're kind of my sounding boards. It's everybody, the clubhouse kids, the clubhouse staff, the media.
Yeah, it's just, it's... And I keep going back to Mike Smith in this conversation, because we had him on the show like, what, 2 weeks ago, last Monday, and talking to him. It's like, hey, what do you miss the most? I don't think this was on air, but he said something like, I don't miss having to worry about what the radio guys are saying after we went forward on 4th and 1. You know, like that. It's like, oh, okay. I think no matter how you feel about the baseball part, because the baseball part is what I've wrestled with, right? The baseball part of Brian Snicker stepping away, it's like, is this good or bad for the team? I think we all kind of believe in him as a manager in given situations, but also, like, this team maybe needed a new voice at times this season, and then they hit their stride and they're good again. And you're like, oh, that was the new voice they needed. I don't know. I can't really decide how I feel about it baseball-wise. I think I'm a little bit relieved. But nonetheless, no matter how you think of it in terms of baseball, just in terms of the icon that he is in the city, you grieve for a little bit. You know, you're just like, man, turning over a new leaf. I mentioned it earlier. He's kind of Atlanta's grandpa, and everybody loves their grandpa, and we love Brian Snicker. And that's just how I feel about it yesterday.
Well, I'm excited to see what his new chapter is going to look like. Of course, I was one of the ones saying, like, I want him back for one more season. Because I wanted that nice round number of 50 for him, but he is going to get that advisory role, so it will be 50. And he's got nothing left to prove, like I mentioned before. So I'm so excited for him, and he's making the decision that's right for him. And I am very curious, though, where the conversations are going to go moving forward for next season.
Yeah,
for
there's
the
been so many of them thrown around. I love David Ross. You know, I grew up a Cubs fan. I've paid a lot of attention to David Ross's career. He's an Auburn grad, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. He was a Brave, done so many cool things. Just a guy that you knew would be a manager one day. I know Skip Schumacher's name has been thrown around. We mentioned Tony Vitale earlier from the University of Tennessee. Walt Weiss from within the dugout. You know, it just there's a lot of different directions I think you can go. A lot of people that have been involved in this organization, you know, from a player or coaching standpoint that they could point to. Or do you just go straight outside the building and say, hey, we knew young blood in here. And so that'll be the conversation moving forward for sure.
I have a very quick question on that. Do you think the Braves are more likely to go after a young up-and-coming manager or a guy that is maybe a little more seasoned in the fact that maybe he's been to at least a bevy of playoff appearances, maybe even a World Series, maybe even has, I don't know if this guy will be even out there, but a guy that maybe has a World Series championship under his belt. So do you think they'll go for that more seasoned manager that has been there before and been to the World Series and knows what it takes to get there, or maybe a young and up-and-coming manager?
I with the roster you have, I think you have to aim for a seasoned manager.
Yeah.
I'm with that too.
I think that when you look at rosters that are always the teams that are up and coming, and I'm talking about not necessarily the Marlins or the Rays, but like
the Reds maybe.
Yeah, like teams like the, you know, that you always are looking for like somebody that can bring energy to the park with teams like that. For teams like the Braves with the fan base they have, the players they have, like you need somebody that's going to make all the right decisions at the right time and has the background of making sure the chemistry is good inside the locker room, which I think is A1 on my list.
Huge.
I think that Brian Snicker did that to a certain level. And, you know, I think that we need somebody that can come in here and make sure that the continuity inside the locker room, that Ozzie's on the same page as Ronnie, who is on the same page as Matt Olson, who's on the same page as, you know, Chris Sale. It just, you have to have somebody like that inside the locker room. So I would think a seasoned vet, it just, like, what does that even mean? What does a seasoned vet even mean?
Well, and historically, they say within the organization. So where would that point towards?
It's a great point. It's a great point. I don't think I need to see Walt Weiss 2.0. I don't think I need to see the beta version here. I don't know. I just looking for a fresh face. I don't know. Maybe I'll feel different in 2 months when the fresh face is hired and I'm like, what are we doing? Who is the old Conor McGregor? Who's that guy?
Well, whatever questions you have about the future of the Braves, we are going to talk to Grant McCauley at 8:20 today about Brian's statement yesterday and announcing that he is retiring as manager of the Braves. Now, the Falcons are on a bye week. They're 2-2 for the season, coming off a win against the Commanders. Got a lot of great momentum as they're going to face Buffalo, and we've been handing out grades to different position groups. A lot of great grades that you guys have been handing out, but let's talk about the wide receiver room. There's been a lot of conversation about this group.
Wow. You just kind of assume that it's not going to be a great grade.
I just said there's a lot of conversation about this group. You're setting people up for the letdown.
Okay?
A lot of conversation.
I think we know what Allie's grade would be.
Yeah.
Before the Commanders game, a lot of people had a lot to say.
No, and I still have a lot to say because, you know, and we will get to tight ends, running backs, all the other positions, you know, obviously later. And I think tight ends is what we're finishing the show with today. Okay, so tight ends are not included in this group. So this is a tough one, man, because I mentioned earlier when you break down the linebackers, you're really talking about Divine Diablo, sprinkle with Caden Ellis. This one's kind of the same, but you have to include Darnell, Ray-Ray, Casey, Kadarrell, you know, David Sills, who's had a target or two. Like, it just goes all the way down the list. And outside of Drake London, who God knows I am a massive fan of Drake London. I love the way that this guy attacks the football when it's in the air. I love the attitude he brings to the offense. I love the tenacity with which he runs his routes and finishes the plays with the balls in his hand. But outside of that, Mooney has been injured and awful at the same time. Mm-hmm. The routes are not crisp. We've talked to Dave Archer about it. He hasn't been able to do the things that we grew accustomed to last year. And Ray-Ray has been bad, too. Ray-Ray has been a guy that has shown splashes of what he was a year ago, but he just slowly has been kind of weeded out of the passing game as you've incorporated more Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson. So I landed on a C- for this group, and it took me everything I had not to go down to D. Drake London is the only thing keeping this above a failing grade, and it's because he is so good at what he's asked to do in this offense.
I went C, not C minus, but I can't disagree with C minus, but it is for the same reason that you just presented. Drake London is the only bright spot of this wide receiver room right now, and it's bad, and it hurts because this, while we talked about this linebacker room, and they kind of, with the emergence of Divine Diablo, talking about how it seems like really they're overachieving at this point. The defensive line has been pretty good, and the young guys have stepped up the way we wanted them to step up. We talked about them yesterday. Secondary's been good. And it's almost like the wide receiver room, which we had a lot of confidence in, especially after what happened last season, even with the quarterback debacle. We felt really good about Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Ray Ray, and then coming into
the camp that Casey had.
The camp that Casey had, like, we felt really, really good. And you could argue that this wide receiver room, we thought, probably was the room with the most depth on this whole entire Falcons team. And so the fact that they've just been so bad besides Drake is really disappointing. And that's why he landed a C. And it's just and it's hard, too, because you can't explain it. Like, yes, Darnell has been banged up, and maybe that's part of it. But he also, when he's been out there, he's just not been good. And then the things he was good at last year, is like, why is his route running taking a step back? Why can all of a sudden him and Ray Ray are having problems catching the ball? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
I have a theory, too, and I watch at least half of every Falcons game with Dylan and watch all the road game. And I have a theory on Darnell Mooney. It's, to me, the reason my grade struggles so much is it's not so much the route running or inability to connect, and that's a massive part of it. But also, when there's an incompletion thrown at Darnell Mooney, it almost feels like he's mad that he's on the field. Like, he gets up with the worst body language. And I've had Darnell on the show. I've interviewed Darnell numerous times. Awesome dude.
Yeah.
Like, have seen him go out of his way to talk to fans and kids and everything else. But it's almost like the body language when he is targeted and the ball is incomplete. And it's not like he hasn't had drops. He's had numerous contested catches dropped and other things going on. It's almost like he kind of gets up and he's like, man, why are you throwing it at me? You know, and I'm like, bro, like that was you just had it in your hands. Like, what are we doing? He just looks frustrated. I don't know if it's his health that's frustrating him, the system, what he's being asked to do. And maybe he's not frustrated, but the body language tells me he absolutely is frustrated with something going on that he's being asked to do. And I'm gonna side with it being he's frustrated with his health or his conditioning or something. But he doesn't look happy on the field right now, even when he has made catches. It's not like a, yeah, it's like a, okay, there I was. Okay.
Yeah, man. And that's a good point you touched on. I didn't think about, maybe it's he feels like he should be getting more separation than he is right now, because, I mean, we've seen how good and the top end speed that he has last year. So maybe it's the hamstring that's still maybe lingering and not allowing him to get the separation that he once could get. So that could be something.
Hopefully the bye week will help him shake off whatever is going on. We are going to be handing out final grades on the Falcon season so far today at 8:40. And this Friday, you can join Andy and Randy at Twin Peaks in Buckhead for a special broadcast of the Midday Show. Come have lunch, enjoy the scenic views as we get ready for a big weekend of college and pro football. That is this Friday from 11 to 2 p.m. at Twin Peaks in Buckhead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up next, we're going to preview Thursday night football. Zoom out and see what else is going on around the NFL on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Dylan hanging out as well. Bo Morgan will be back next week. I do have an apology to issue.
Oh, it's okay. I don't know what you're going to apologize to me for, but it's okay.
I already forgive you, Allie.
Thank you. Because today's October 2nd, and I like to remind everyone on the first, hey, pay your rent, pay your mortgage. So if you're late on that, it's my fault. I apologize.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I'm sure there's not a late fee yet.
Now that I think about it, you can pay my late fee.
I doubt there is one.
I feel like I know for our apartment complex, it's the one I live in, you have until the 3rd. I feel like that's probably pretty standard, I would
think. 3rd or 4th, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, and we had this conversation a couple of months ago. I pay my mortgage every 2 weeks now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been, it's just It's been interesting to get used to, but yeah. I'm here, kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're still new with this mortgage game, so we're not going to take that route quite yet. But yeah.
It's a weird thing. You line up your bills with your pay structure and everything else, but it's worked out fine. It's worked out fine.
Very nice. Well, go ahead. Pay your rent. Pay your mortgage. Take care of it because it is October 2nd.
It's spooky season.
It is spooky season. Yeah. It's very exciting. And Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So the San Francisco 49ers offense, they're going to be even more shorthanded than they originally were when they take on the Rams tonight. They have ruled out quarterback Brock Purdy and receivers Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall, and Jordan Watkins. I mean, they're down.
Yes.
They're always injured.
Down big. Not to mention my fantasy team has Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall. So I'm down big as well as Yikes. I head into this weekend. Yeah, brutal.
That's tough, bro.
Brutal right there at the same time. No, I mean, I think it's going to be good. And look, the Rams, you know, for everything I think that Mac Jones is and can be for the 49ers, I think he's proven that he can kind of operate that offense at a higher level. I think that when you look at this and you look at the decision not to play Brock Purdy on a short week, I think that after watching Brock Purdy play last week where he had multiple turnovers, you know, interception, fumble, all the other stuff, I think that Kyle Shanahan's looking at it going, I'd rather have 100% Mac Jones than a 90% Brock Purdy. You know what I mean? He's going, it's not – like I think most teams in the NFL, when you look at a quarterback that's kind of dinged up, maybe has a sore shoulder, they're like, hey, can you go? We really need you in this situation. I think Kyle Shanahan's like, we're good. Like, hey, man, just go ahead and take the week. You know what I mean? Just go ahead and, hey, just sit this one out. We'll be fine. The Rams are really good, though, and that's the underlying conversation here. This is not going down and playing the Saints like Mac Jones did. The Rams, one of the most explosive offenses when you look at yards per play in the NFL, everything that they're doing with Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, Matt Stafford, and everybody else that's you know, kind of involved in that offense has been really, really good. So that's not going to be quite the same task when it comes to facing off with this team with Mac Jones.
Yeah, when you're missing your starting quarterback, your top three receivers – along with your receiving tight end, who can also is a very good blocker as well, and your best defensive player, that's tough. But I'll say this, Mac Jones, if he plays up to level that we've seen him play at before with New England, and we know Kyle Shanahan is a bit of a quarterback whisperer.
Yeah.
If he can play up to the level that we've seen him play at before with Christian McCaffrey and still some okay-ish weapons, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Sky Moore, DeMarcus Robinson and company, they can still compete, but it's going to be a very tough test against a very good Rams team. And it's also important because even though it's early, this is a game in the NFC West that are 2-3-1 teams that are trying to see if they can separate themselves. So it's a big game, but 49ers can bounce back from it.
I had to drop this stat because this popped up earlier when I was talking about this game. How about this one? As much as we think about Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Shanahan, 49ers are the only team in the NFL that have not scored a rushing touchdown this year.
Huh.
Wow.
The only team in the NFL that have not scored a rushing touchdown this year. So it's pretty crazy to look at it from that angle when you think about what that team is with their offensive line and everything they've been able to do through the years with that running game. Crazy.
So Shedeur Sanders had quite a reaction to Dylan Gabriel replacing Joe Flacco as QB for the Browns. Dylan, you want to hit the audio for Shedeur here? I'm just kidding, because there is no audio.
I was going to say, what audio?
I looked. I was like, wait, no.
No. If you watch this video.
He went towards the computer like, wait, what?
Yeah, no, I know. I totally scared you. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
But if you watch this video, Shedeur Sanders, the media is asking him questions, and he is miming talking back, miming responses. What is he doing?
I don't know. I don't know, man. And look, Shedeur, I've had so many different reactions to so many things he does. It would do it an injustice to say I like or dislike Shedeur. I like Shedeur depending on what day it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where there's so much nuance to the personality that is Shedeur Sanders. And I kind of vibe with him in one aspect where he hates the way the media talks about him, and he's kind of grown up that way when understanding how the media talks about his dad in certain instances. Now, I have disliked his dad at times and thought it was warranted, and other times I'm like, why are we hammering Deion so much? It's the same way I feel about Shedeur. Like, he's kind of grown up in the crosshairs of the media in so many different ways that I look at it, I'm like, yeah, I don't blame you for, like, wanting to mess with them in one way. But also, very professional setting. It's the NFL. Like, you got to grow up at some point, dude. And, like, for somebody that's vying for a spot, if I'm, like, all the way with the upper management in Cleveland and the head coach and all the way down, I'm not thinking, man, can't wait till this guy's the starting quarterback. Like, it's a bad look.
Exactly. And that's the thing for me. As a player, I am rooting for Shador. I like Shador, and I want to see Shador have success. But this right here just doesn't sit right with me. It's just like, dude, come on. Like, pantomiming? Really? What, I mean, what are we doing? This is like, like you said, at some point you got to grow up. You got to handle yourself with a certain amount of professionalism. I get it. You're trying to get your get back at the media, and you haven't had the best relationship with the media growing up, to your point, Mike. And so I understand in a way why he did this, but it's like, still, bro, you can't do this, man.
Come on, man.
It was shocking. It was shocking.
It was.
Washington.
Shocking is a good word.
It was shocking.
Shocking, and he was very much trolling.
Yeah. Yes, that's a good point. For sure. The Washington Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels has been medically cleared to return. He could play against the Chargers on Sunday.
Yeah, I brought up earlier, we're going to be talking about PFF grades a couple of times today. I'm going to talk about it a little bit during Mic'd Up as well. Marcus Mariota, shockingly, I don't know if anybody understands this. If you just pull up PFF quarterback grades, the best grade in the NFL right now is Marcus Mariota.
Wow.
Which blows my mind, because I thought he did some good things. I thought he threw, some balls that I don't know if he was on the same page as the quarterback. And that's one of the things about PFF grades. You never know what they're being coached to do. You never know what the scheme is. And when you look at him from so many different angles, it's like, it's not great. This is great. This is good. He's only made a couple of starts. That's fine. Or he's only played in a couple of games with the start. That's fine. But I don't think there's anybody involved in Washington that's like, oh, man, Marcus Mariota's hitting the bench. We got to ride with Jaden Daniels again. He's so good, and he's so dynamic in the things that he's asked to do inside this offense. He changes everything about the Washington Commanders franchise, so I'm sure they're happy to have him back.
Mm-hmm. And the Baltimore Ravens aren't saying quite yet whether Lamar Jackson has a chance to play in Sunday's game against the Texans, but yesterday he did not practice because of a hamstring injury.
Yeah, and that hamstring, a lot of people wondering if he kind of pulled himself out because of the score and everything else. I'm going to have to believe Lamar Jackson until he proves me wrong. And if Lamar Jackson can go, I think he's going to go. Houston, I will say this about D'Amico Ryans in Houston, man. He ain't afraid to make moves. They traded Cam Robinson this weekend. Remember, they traded Laremy Tunsil last year. And
got rid of CJGJ, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Yes. And yep. He's like, D'Amico is just straight up like, nah, we ain't playing that game, dog. Like, you ain't going to come in here and not do things the right way. So I kind of love it. And I think there's a big opportunity for Lamar Jackson and Baltimore to kind of, get their season back on track.
If I had to guess, though, right now, if I was a betting man, I would say Lamar Jackson isn't playing. And I have obviously no inside information, but when I read that John Harbaugh, after he's asked if Lamar is considered day-to-day, and he's like, how about I just don't say anything? That's what I would do. Why don't we just leave it alone? Like, that kind of prickly answer. It seems like he's annoyed with the situation.
Yeah.
He maybe kind of already knows that Lamar probably on the side of not playing. So if I had to guess, I would say Lamar probably ain't playing this week.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think I'd be kind of surprised as well.
We'll see what happens. Coming up, New Orleans, we'll get that CFP title game, and we've got him mic'd up.
Got him mic'd up. Couple conversations to have. I want to talk about the weekend coming up with Diego Pavia. I'll be in Tuscaloosa. And also, Steve Spagnuolo sounds off about PFF grades. I'm going to tell you why he is spot on the other side.
That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Ali Mack, Mike Johnson, Dylan keeping us on track. This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys get the strong arm. Do want to remind you, and remind myself that we have MGK tickets that we're going to be giving away next hour. So go ahead, save the number. It just makes it easier when I say to call in 404-726-0929. And we are going to get to a mic'd up in a few minutes. We got to talk about New Orleans landing the 2028 CFP title game. Mixed feelings on this?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say. I I've been to many events. Obviously, I've played in New Orleans numerous times, but also I played in the Sugar Bowl. I've attended Sugar Bowl.
Okay.
I've been to other events down at the Superdome. It just seems to work. Bourbon Street mixed with big sporting events just seems to work. The Superdome in and of itself, New Orleans in and of itself, you know, I think leaves a lot to be desired, I think, for a lot of people.
So I might catch a lot of heat for this, but I have never been to New Orleans. Never been. I did live in Mobile for a while, and I just never went over there.
Mobile.
And like, Mobile. As I get further and further into adulthood, I have zero desire to ever go see New Orleans. I just don't want to go.
Okay.
I just don't want to go.
It's Mobile.
I'm not a huge New Orleans person, but here's where I'm going to hold you to task. All right. Because I'm gonna make sure you don't squid billy us right here. All right, you can't tell me you don't have any desire to ever go if you've never been, right? That's what I'm gonna say. It's like my son when he's like, I don't like tomatoes. I'm like, bro, you never tasted tomatoes. Like, what are you even talking about? That's where I would. Now, granted, if you were to go and say, I have no desire to ever go back to New Orleans, I'd be like 100% hear you. Like, fine, salute. I completely agree. It's fine if I'm going for a college football national championship game or something like that. But if you've never been, like, you probably need to experience it one time.
I don't think it's my vibe whatsoever. Through all the reality shows I've watched and all the trips these people take.
All right, Allie.
He sounds like
reality TV, really? That's what you're basing your New Orleans on?
This is just like Bo when you were going to Sao Paulo, and Bo was like, oh, you need to be careful now. It's really dangerous. I'm like, how many times have you ever been to Sao Paulo? Exactly. He's like, I know people.
And I was fine.
What about New Orleans says Allie Mack to you?
That I will say is fair. Actually, I think
she'd like it.
I think you would like it, actually. It's vibey. The people are nice.
It's artsy. Got good music.
It's a nice vibe, Allie. It's one of those things where I would just don't knock it until you try it. Okay. I think you would enjoy it.
Now, would I go out of my – like I said, am I like, hey, let's pack the bags and take a flight to New Orleans for the weekend? Absolutely not. But surrounding an event, it's pretty good.
There have to be cities, though, that you hear and you're just like, nah. I don't want to go.
Dude.
What city do you just not want to go to?
Vegas.
What?
Oh, my dear God. I could live the rest of my life without going to Vegas.
It just feels like nothing good comes out of going to Las Vegas.
100%. That's
it just feels like you go to Las Vegas and you're just going to get in some sort of trouble.
Bro, I'm like, how am I? I'm losing at least $1,000 at the table. And I'm just like, why did I come here? I don't even know why I came here. I'm not coming back.
And if we're basing places off of programming, The Hangover.
Yes, dude.
Why would I go to Vegas? Yeah.
You're gonna get kidnapped. You're going to get drugged.
Vegas is so true to what it advertises itself to be, though. I absolutely love going to Vegas. Now, I will say you cannot stay more than 2 nights, 3 days. You got to get out because it is
it's
a complete money pit, but it is so much fun.
Speaking of, this isn't a city. This is a country. Yeah. That I've just heard that I used to really want to go to, but now I'm kind of iffy about it. Australia.
What?
Yeah.
Because
I see so many TikTok videos now about like how just wild and kooky Australia is and all like the wildlife. Like you could just have a snake just slither up through your toilet.
Bro. Okay.
You could have just a big old spider on your wall, kangaroos busting through your door.
Let me put it this way, and this is what I'd say if Squid Billy was sitting here. What do you think the TikToks for Australians look like for America?
That's a good point.
Bro, you just know Australians are going, I ain't never going to that place.
They're going in on Florida. I already know Australians go in on Florida.
They're
like, bro, I ain't never going
that man's petting a gator. What is he doing?
Man. You're talking about the outback. You're not talking about like the city of Sydney. Like,
yeah,
I'm Bondi
sure. Beach. I would really love to go to Sydney.
It's got to be incredible.
Yeah, and I'd love to go to New Zealand too. Lord knows. That'd be insane. But I don't know. Like and I feel the same way like that he's talking about Australia that I feel about you and New Orleans. Like you got to at least try before you're like never.
Okay, come on.
Never doing
Australia versus New Orleans. little bit different.
But it is, but it's not. But the fact that it's so close, like, come on, dude. It's not that hard.
If I'm going to do New Orleans, why wouldn't I just save some time and go to Savannah? It's the same thing,
right? I think New Orleans, no.
No.
It's not.
No, it's not.
New Orleans to me is like, it's like the father of Nashville. You know what I mean? Like, if New Orleans and Austin had a baby, it would be Nashville.
I completely agree with that. Because being to New Orleans and Austin both, I completely agree with that.
Austin's the mom, New Orleans is the dad. You know what I mean? And it's just, look, like I said, I'm not sitting up here trying to be the guy that's like, New Orleans is great, because I don't feel that way. But I also have to hold you to task and accountability and say, you at least have to try it before you say, I'm never going.
Yeah.
You know, that's just, and I can't, like, I've never been, one of the only metro areas in the country I've never been to is San Francisco. Do I have any interest in going to San Francisco? No, but I'm not avoiding it either. Like, if Bama were to play out in Levi's Stadium at some point, which is not technically in San Francisco, but I'd go. I know they played there a couple years ago. I didn't go, but I'd go just to see, you know, just to see what I'm missing. Now, I will tell you this, and I know we got to move on to Mike'd Up. Have no desire to ever go back to New York City. None.
None?
Dude.
Same.
For a big, sweaty fella such as myself, New York is an absolute nightmare. Like, you're walking everywhere. You got to get in these small cabs. Like, it's an absolute nightmare. Like, it's hard to find places that have, like, ice in their drinks. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, not everywhere has air conditioning. The apartments are literally a closet. Like, I'm so solid on ever going there again.
I can understand the living situation, but going, to me, is so motivational, inspirational. Like, look at all this success, you know, capitalism.
Yeah, no, I'm good. Put me out on Paces Ferry. I feel the same way.
Wait, I'm good in Brookhaven.
With the Falcons off this Sunday, we do have an NFL triple header coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It starts at 9:15 on Sunday with the Vikings taking on the Browns in London. After that, it's the Cowboys at the Jets, followed by the Lions at the Bengals. It's all brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com. Three big NFL games all day this Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And as a reminder, Mike'd Up is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style, one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. All right, so obviously got the trip coming up this weekend. I'll be headed over to Tuscaloosa, checking out Vanderbilt and Alabama. It's been a lot of fun to kind of break that down with my friends, because all of a sudden, everybody wants tickets, right? And yeah. I've been lining this up for a long time, because this is the Falcons bye week, and I knew I was going to have the weekend off. So I was like, hey, if I'm going to go to a Bama game this year, I think I've been to, on average, one every 2 years.
Okay.
And I did go last year, but only stayed for like one quarter. That was this Nick Saban field thing. So I'm going to Tuscaloosa this weekend. It'll be a lot of fun. I'll be reporting back on that. Obviously, you know, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but I'll report back on Monday how I feel about that entire situation. All right, which brings me to the Mike'd Up topic of the day. And this is about a conversation we've had about PFF on this show numerous times. And I could not agree more with the man that is the defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, Chris Jones, who was a defensive tackle for Kansas City, all pro in every single way you can think of, a great player in the NFL, possibly even borderline on future Hall of Famer, the way he goes about his business. Well, Steve Spagnuolo, his defensive coordinator, was asked if there's any concern about Chris Jones's play because his PFF grade hasn't been very good.
I don't know how you put a grade on somebody when you don't know actually what their assignment was or what they were being told. So, I don't know. It's like, from our standpoint, I thought Chris in this particular game had a real big effect on the game. They obviously found ways to double him, whether it was two linemen, the running back at times was chipping inside, which you don't see a lot, because that was the Chris Jones effect. A number of times that he didn't get there, but I think he forced the quick throw or step up. So, you know, from my standpoint, I don't remember what Chris's actual grade was, but I know that at the end of the game, I thought the guys up front, Chris included, had a big effect on the way things went.
Now, I checked. Chris Jones is the 73rd ranked interior defender right now in the NFL. That's not great. That's not great.
Mm-hmm.
My question always has been, and there was a bunch of people weighing in. This was put out on Twitter from numerous accounts. One of the flag bearers for the anti-PFF crowd has always been J.J. Watt. He's like, I am instructed to do so many different things on any given play. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm reading the quarterback and the running back ducks inside and, you know, makes a 5-yard run. Am I getting deducted for that? Nobody knows. Like, that's what's crazy about PFF grades. I have been on this bandwagon, and Dylan will remember this and respect this. I have been on this bandwagon since we started the show. I'm like, PFF grades don't mean crap. Like, you don't know. Nobody even knows what it means when you have an 80 or a 90. It's like, hey, this is the best left tackle in the NFL this week. He graded out at 84. And you're like, how is that possible? There's nobody that graded out higher than 84. It's not like a percentage. It's not like one you got right. How am I grading a left tackle on a play where there's a bootleg to the right? Like, is he just running? Like, is that right. What he's getting graded for? I don't know. But then I will say, last year I kind of got caught in the crosshairs of this, and you'll remember this, where Raheem was like, you know, Arnold Ebuketi is ranked really high on PFF. And I was like, no!
Say it ain't so.
No, Raheem! But I think that all kind of brings it back, and I do. And Steve Spagnuolo said this. He was like, there's a lot of good tools on PFF. The player grades is not one of them.
Okay.
The premium stats, great. Break down what this team's trying to do, where this team's running, how good they are on third down in these situations, what personnel they're looking at. There's so many different cool things to look at. Player grades is not one of them. And I am personally sick of having to see when I wake up on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning that this guy was the highest graded right tackle in the NFL this week. And I'm like, what'd he do? I don't know. Was it good in run? I know that they break him down, but we have no idea. And I'll just give you one example before we have to go to break. This happened when I was probably my second or third year in the league. Tyson Klaibo was our starting right tackle. We were supposed to run a draw. Devontae Freeman was the running back. We were supposed to run a draw play. Matt Ryan was going to show pass, and then he was going to hand it off to Devontae Freeman, and Devontae Freeman was going to take off running. Well, Devontae Freeman didn't know that that was the play. Mm. He had no idea that he was supposed to be running a draw. So Tyson Klaibo takes one pass set, throws his body in a lunge at, like, you know, a cut block for a draw play, and Devontae Freeman just goes out on a pass route. And Matt Ryan is forced up in the pocket, and he has to just get sacked by the guy that Tyson Klaibo was supposed to be blocking. Now, does the guy at PFF know that Devontae Freeman missed the play call, or does he think that Tyson Klaibo just gave up a sack?
Mm.
Don't know. And that's where my problem lies with PFF. I will get off my soapbox now. Thank you guys so much for paying attention.
I appreciate that insight. Coming up, we do have the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. What are your thoughts on PFF? I would love to know your opinion. We're taking grades for the Falcons. And, of course, the big news coming out of yesterday, Brian Snitker is retiring or stepping down as management. Who do you want to see fill his shoes? Who can fill his shoes? 404-726-0929. The wake-up call is next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.